You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Who is Jesus Christ? Some say he is God. Others deny his deity. For the answer to this crucial question and what it means to you, stay tuned.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Creator of the entire universe, out of divine love, you sent your Son Jesus into the world to pay the supreme price for sin. Even as your divine Son conducted his selfless mission of love and mercy, many rejected him. They defiled him. They ridiculed him. They blasphemously denied his deity. And they finally crucified him. Oh Lord, give everyone listening today eyes of faith. Enable everyone to see Jesus, their loving friend and their only hope. May your word as it is preached convict people of their sin. May it also give strength to the weak, hope to the despairing, and comfort to the dying. In every generation there are false prophets. Expose them. Then hold the Calvary cross before our eyes. Let us see Jesus, create faith in our hearts, and give us an eternal hope. In Jesus' precious and powerful name we pray, amen. How can anyone claim to be a Christian clergyman and at the same time deny that Jesus Christ is God? Newspapers in the United States, Canada, and Europe have carried stories in recent months revealing this illogical and heretical situation. Even secular journalists have correctly exposed preachers who do not even believe in the most basic doctrine of the Christian faith. As a result, newspaper readers have reacted in anger and disgust. It is truly tragic that those who should be powerfully proclaiming hope to their congregations through the divine Savior's perfect life, sacrificial death, and triumphant resurrection, these same individuals are now instead proclaiming a message of uncertainty and even despair. But it must also be said that the denial of the deity of Christ is not new in our generation. Continuous attempts to blasphemously state that Jesus was not God have taken place ever since the days of the Savior's public ministry. How about you? Have you ever wondered whether Jesus was God as he claimed to be? For doubting minds and troubled hearts, a test case concerning the deity of Christ is recorded in the fifth chapter of the divinely inspired Gospel of St. Luke. Jesus had just returned to his home in Capernaum. Already the fame of his miracles and his powerful and authoritative preaching had spread far and wide. Scores of people who loved the Savior followed him wherever he went. Sad to say, however, many of the church leaders of that day disliked Jesus with an intensity that can hardly be imagined. And so, as soon as the word leaked out that Jesus was back in town, the local people turned out in great numbers. Some came to gladly listen to and believe in him. Others tried to trap him and bring legal charges against him. The controversy surrounding Jesus Christ had grown so intense that the religious officials, known as Pharisees and teachers of the law, had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and even from as far away as Jerusalem. The stage was set for a confrontation between the Son of God and the sons of the devil. The Holy Scriptures record that so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. This caused a special problem. Several men who had heard or perhaps even witnessed firsthand the miraculous power of Jesus had brought their paralytic friend to be healed. Because of the crowded conditions, however, they could not get close to the Savior. And so they very quickly made some emergency arrangements. They climbed to the top of the building, made a hole in the roof, and let their paralytic friend down in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw the sick paralytic in front of him, he was immediately moved to compassion and said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Oh, how the beautiful words, "your sins are forgiven," brought joy to the believers who watched and peace to the troubled heart of the invalid. At the same time, these same consoling words of forgiveness ignited the hateful passion of his enemies. It was like throwing gasoline onto an open fire. The enemies could not believe what they had just heard. Jesus Christ, before their very eyes, had just publicly claimed the power to forgive sins. From their thorough study of the Old Testament, the religious leaders knew that only God had this power. And so the Holy Scriptures record, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus could read his enemies' thoughts. He felt their very hate. The Savior asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart?" Those who sought to trap the Son of God were now about to be ensnared in their own trap. Jesus now asked his antagonists, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk?" The enemies were indeed trapped. They realized that the power needed to either heal a physical ailment or to forgive sins was more than any man could contain. Both required the power that only God could give. At the same time, however, it was obviously easier for a mere man to say the words, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," than to pronounce and actually perform a physical healing. Merely speaking the words of forgiveness could remain a purely intellectual issue. They could debate it for days, since the results giving proof would never be visible. But now the situation made a dramatic turn. In the midst of climaxing tensions and Satan-inspired confusion, Jesus, in an authoritative pronouncement, set everything straight once and for all. Jesus said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." The moment of truth had now arrived. If the paralytic would remain unhealed and unable to get up, all the claims of Jesus would be publicly demolished and he would be clearly exposed as an outright fraud. At the same time, if the paralytic would get up, Jesus would be shown to be exactly who he claimed to be, God in the flesh. As I read the results of this contest directly from the Bible, listen closely and let your heart be encouraged and your faith strengthened. The Holy Scriptures record that Jesus spoke to the paralytic, and the sick man got up, picked up his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. When this happened, the Holy Scriptures testify, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The question whether Jesus was God was now settled once and for all. It was crucial at that very moment, but it is also just as crucial today. It is crucial for you. You may have never thought of it before, but your eternal life depends on this question. If Jesus was only a man and not God, his death is of no value to you. He then died only for himself. But since Jesus was God, you will not have to suffer and die for your sin on Judgment Day. Jesus has already suffered and died in your place. Only God can do this. An average man or even a well-known prophet could never do this. But Jesus, who was God, did. Listen to the Lord as he speaks through St. Paul when he says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." As we contemplate the clash between the Savior and those who used every trick in the book to trap him, we must not forget to notice closely and with great joy the marvelous faith of the gentleman who brought the helpless paralytic to be healed, and also the faith of the paralytic himself. These kind gentlemen who carried the pallet were so convinced of the divine power of the Savior that they were willing to risk embarrassment and possibly even arrest as they made the hole in the roof. What a faith the paralytic had to even permit himself to be handled in such an unusual way. Their spirit-authored faith produced unashamed boldness. This may be the type of faith you wish that you had. Perhaps as you listen today, you may be wishing that your faith would be stronger. You may sincerely desire a faith like that of the paralytic and those who carried him. You can have this faith. Don't hesitate another moment. With a repentant heart, call upon God the Holy Spirit. Let your faith, even if it is as small as a mustard seed, be watered by the Spirit's power. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit created and strengthened the faith of the paralytic and his friends as they heard about and witnessed the miraculous ministry of Jesus. The Holy Spirit created in their hearts a living faith. The men had found someone they could truly trust and believe in. The more they learned about the wonderful Savior and his miracles, the stronger their faith became. The Holy Spirit will in the same way create in you a saving faith. As you continue to study and pray, he will work in you a vibrant faith like that of the paralytic and his friends. Jesus said, "Believe me when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Jesus continues by saying, "Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Believe in Jesus. As God graciously gives you the gift of faith and strengthens the same faith, like the men, you will want to bring your friends to Jesus. Read the Holy Scriptures daily. Attend a church where the Word of God is preached and where the life-giving and faith-strengthening sacraments are administered. When we read and study the Bible, we do not worship the divine book. Rather, in the Holy Scriptures, we learn about him through whom the entire world was created, and of him who has saved us from our sins. Can you imagine how much God loves you today? He not only says this, he demonstrated his love when he reconciled you to himself by sending his Son, Jesus, to be crucified. That is why Jesus died, simply because God loves you. The Bible describes it this way. Because of your sins, a barrier exists between you and God. But now, through the death of Jesus, the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, has been removed. Because of what Jesus did through his sacrificial death, you and God can be friends again. There is no more barrier. Because of Jesus, God accepts you as you are. He wants you to have a meaningful life now and also a life eternally with him. Believe in Jesus. As God gives you the faith to believe, he will also assure your heart that you are totally forgiven. And so today, as you listen to this radio broadcast, if you have been wondering who Jesus Christ is, let this divinely recorded historical account of the Savior's healing of the paralytic, once and for all, settle the question in your mind and give peace to your doubting and troubled heart. Even though many groups, including some who claim to be churches of Jesus Christ, deny the deity of Christ, do not be persuaded by these false teachers. Follow no false prophets. Trust only in the soul-saving message of the divinely inspired Holy Scriptures. Let your questing mind be put at ease by the words of St. John, who wrote, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." And be especially aware of those who try to convince you that what you believe about Jesus doesn't really matter. There is no neutral ground between you and the Almighty God. Although some preachers may claim that faith founded in the deity of Christ is not all that important, Jesus states with absolute authority, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Today, if you have assumed the responsibility of a Christian clergyman or a Christian teacher, remember the solemn warning of the Lord. If you are not gathering with the Lord Jesus, you are scattering. If you do not clearly teach the claims which Jesus Himself made, you are leading people into the eternal fires of everlasting hell. Jesus says, "Whosoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Each year during the Easter season, newspapers carry sensational stories of individuals who actually arrange to have themselves physically nailed to a cross. Last year, such bizarre incidents occurred in Europe, Brazil, and the United States. Although these individuals have received much media coverage as a result of their bizarre acts, their accomplishments remain minimal at best. Since they were only human, their accomplishments were limited to social or political causes. The death of Jesus Christ was entirely different. Jesus was not only human, he was also divine. Jesus was not only true man, he was also true God. Let this knowledge console and thrill your heart. Believe in Jesus. When you do, your God-given faith will provide real strength and not just a mere passing emotional feeling of optimism. Faith in Jesus Christ results in a solid relationship with the Lord of heaven and earth. Because of this divinely authored and gracious bond, you can confidently expect all the blessings a loving Father gives His children. Your life will take on a new feeling of permanent hope. With living hope in the Lord, you will receive all the strength necessary to face the daily challenges and difficulties in life. But more than anything else, as you look to the future, you can have the absolute assurance that your sins have been totally paid for, and that on the final day of judgment, you will be publicly declared forgiven by the Supreme Judge. Just as Jesus was moved by His loving compassion to forgive the sins of the paralytic, He desires to forgive your sins and strengthen your faith. Turn to Jesus. Believe in the loving Savior. Because He is God, He has the authority to forgive your sins. Amen.